We're thankful for everyone's presence this evening. Last Sunday evening, we started a short series of lessons in regard to asking the question, is there a pattern? If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to use the same scripture in regard to kind of setting the tone for this series of lessons. And in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, as we noted last Sunday evening, it says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And we were asking the question, is there a pattern? And that word pattern means a form or an example. And so after asking that question, I think through last week's study, we can certainly see that if we're honest in regard to our study of the Scriptures, that we can say there is a pattern that is revealed to us. And we noted that that pattern was referred to by many different expressions in the Scriptures. It's spoken of as the Word. It's spoken of as the Gospel. It's spoken of as the truth, the commandments, the doctrine, the law of Christ, and the faith. Those are things that are all discussing this pattern that's given to us in God's Word. So the purpose of our study today is to see our need for a pattern and how it can actually help us, and see if we can understand this pattern that's been given to us by God. Certainly there is a pattern, but can we understand that pattern? That's what we want to look at in our first consideration in this lesson. Turn over to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and look there in verse 8, and we see that Ezra was reading, the Levites helped the people. It says, come to an understanding. It says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Now, there is a pattern, as we looked at last week in God's Word, but the question is, can we understand the pattern? That answer is yes, but sometimes we might need someone's help in regard to understanding what the pattern is. Just think back to the time you became a Christian. Did you just figure out what you needed to do totally on your own without someone helping you to understand what the pattern was and what was revealed in God's Word of what you needed to do to be saved? In most cases, we had someone who helped us in that regard. So we can understand what God expects from us. Sometimes we might need the help from someone, and that's what was happening here as Nehemiah is recording and Ezra was reading the law to the people so they could understand. Turn over and listen to what the psalmist has to say in Psalm 119 and verse 119 verse 104. He says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Can we get understanding? Yes. How do we come to the understanding of the pattern that's revealed? Well, we get that understanding through the precepts of God, through the Scripture, through, as we talked about, the doctrine of Christ, the commandments, the law of Christ, the gospel, the truth, all those things that are a reference to the pattern. So from the pattern of knowledge of what is right and wrong, we learn how to discern good from evil, like we talked about in our lesson this morning. We learn to make choices hopefully that are good, choices that are not evil. So we can understand the pattern. How do we come to that understanding? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, and note what Paul instructed the brethren there, those who were Christians. He's writing to them, and he's saying, you too can understand the pattern, but there's something that you have to do. In Ephesians 3 and verses 2 through 6, He says, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So Paul is instructing the Christians here in the church at Ephesus and telling them they would be able to understand this, which was a mystery, how God was going to redeem man, how God was going to save man. That's what was a mystery, but he says it's now being revealed, and you can understand it when you read it. So we understand that in order to come to the knowledge of the truth, we're going to have to read. How can we understand the pattern if we don't read the manual that tells us how we should live? Okay? When we get something, and it usually has directions or instructions with it, and sometimes what do? We just open it and try to start putting it together. Then we find out, I need to read this manual. I need to find out exactly how I'm supposed to do this, the order that I'm supposed to do this in. Follow the manual. So we read, so we can understand, so we can follow the instructions. And it's the same thing with us. Look in Ephesians, the 5th chapter there, in verse 17, and Paul told the brethren again, he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, our question is, can we understand the pattern? Well, here, Paul instructed the brethren in Ephesus to not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Was he instructing them to do something that was impossible for them to do? No, it was possible for them to understand what the will of the Lord is, but it was going to take some effort on their part. So they could understand, and so can we. We can also come to an understanding of what the pattern is, but the first thing that we do, usually, is we read. If we read and we don't have a thorough understanding of what we do, we ask someone for help, right? And that's where others come in and are able to help us in regard to that. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, in verse 7, he says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. If we truly listen to what God says, read it, consider it, meditate upon it, God will give us understanding. We might have to seek understanding from someone who can help us. We realize that all scriptures are not simple. All scriptures are not straightforward. Some scriptures are more difficult than other scriptures. But I think for the most part, we can read and we can understand. But note what Peter states in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to begin in verse 15. And I want to read down through verse 18. 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 15. It says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twisted their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So what does Peter state? Peter admits, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there are some scriptures that are hard to understand. Now, note, he did not say they were impossible for us to understand. He just said there are some things that are harder than others to to understand. But he's talking about that if we apply ourselves with diligence, we will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Might we have to ask someone for some help in regard to some things, or to study with someone to decide to come to a greater understanding? Yes, that could happen. That could take place. But can we understand the pattern that's revealed for us in the Word of God? Yes, we can. We can come to an understanding of it. Now, do we really need a pattern? There are those today who say no. But the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah the 10th chapter and verse 23, says yes. He says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So some say no, but we are not in a position of authority in the sight of God so that we can tell him what we need and what we do not need. We need to have the mindset that we're going to follow the pattern that's been revealed to us, because if I get away from the pattern and I begin to direct my own steps, inevitably I'm going to be headed down the wrong path. That's what happens with man. So that's the warning of the prophet. Turn over and listen to what the wise man has to say in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs the 14th chapter, there in verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, he says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So man left to his own wisdom inevitably will make the wrong choice. There might be a way that seems right to me. It might seem right to you, but it might not be the way that God wants us to go. So we need to understand the pattern and understand our need for that pattern. It's not that most people cannot see the pattern that's revealed in the Scriptures. When you sit down and study with them, they'll quickly see that there's a pattern. The problem they will have is, am I really going to apply that pattern to my life? Do I really need that pattern in my life? The wise man says, man left to his wisdom and inevitably makes the wrong choice. Turn over to Romans, the 5th chapter, Romans chapter 5, and look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, and look at verse 1. And it talks about this pattern. In order for us to practice the pattern that's revealed in the Scripture, we have to have faith. In Romans 5, 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're justified by faith. Where does this faith come from? Begin reading with me in Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 8, and we're going to read down through verse 17. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Since we must have faith and do God's will in order to be saved from our sins so we can have eternal life, then we must of necessity know what his will is. We say we live by faith, but is that the faith that comes by hearing and hearing by God's word? Is it according to the pattern? And knowing his will is one thing, and that's important for us. We need to come to a knowledge of the truth. We need to come to a knowledge of His Word, what His Word teaches us. But then there's also the part where we have to make the proper application. We have to be obedient to His Word. And Hebrews 5, 8, 9 says, though He was a son, speaking of Christ, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Now, we can know about Jesus. We can know about His saving power. We can know about His precious blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary on our behalf. We can know we need to take advantage of that blood in our lives in order to have forgiveness of sins. But does that mean, knowing all those things, we will obey? No. We have to become obedient. Obedience has to be a part of this pattern in our life. Go over to the Gospel of Mark, and let's look there at the Great Commission that's given there by Mark. And he said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's a passage of Scripture that we've heard read or we've heard quoted many times in our life. That we must remember that God's will is revealed how? In the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It contains the pattern that we need to follow. What does He tell us to do as part of the gospel? It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But what do people do? People say, oh, I'm willing to follow that pattern, but what part of that pattern do they follow? They follow that part of the pattern that talks about believing. They follow that part of that pattern that talks about faith. They're willing to do that, but what about the part of the pattern that says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? They're not as willing to follow that part of the pattern. Well, can we just pick and choose what parts of the pattern that's revealed in God's Word we want to obey? Note what is taught in the Scriptures in the Gospel of Matthew in the fourth chapter and in verse 4 there. It's when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, and he had been tempted to command these stones to become bread. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Did we catch that? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, what happened to going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. When people say, oh, I know you need to believe, but I don't think baptism has anything to do with it. What has happened to every word? Those just don't have any importance. Well, every word in the Scripture is revealing the pattern to us of what we need to do. So, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God has importance to us. So, we need to have the proper attitude toward needing the pattern, understanding the pattern, but then the proper attitude toward applying that pattern in our life, being obedient to it. Well, how does this pattern help us? I think we can understand the pattern. We need a pattern. How does this pattern help us? That's where the rubber meets the road. How does it actually help you and help me to understand this pattern? What does it help us? In what areas does it help us? Well, we're going to look at a few tonight. This pattern that we can see in the Word of God identifies the truth. So this pattern helps us. It helps us to learn the truth. Well, why is the truth important? Why is the truth important? Well, John, the 8th chapter, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? The truth shall set you free. But we have to know the truth. The truth is revealed in this pattern. Now, problems arise if we do not know the truth. Let's go back over in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll see an account of Jesus and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees came to the wrong conclusion because they did not understand the truth. They did not learn all of the truth. Look in Matthew chapter 22. I want to begin there in verse 23. And then I'm going to read down through about verse 29 or so, maybe a little further than that. But we'll begin there reading in verse 23. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him. They're questioning Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, even the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Now, you can see that problems arise if you do not know the truth. If you do not understand all of the truth in regard to a subject, you can have a problem in regard to how you view that. Truth and salvation are linked together in the Word of God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look there in 1 Timothy 2 at verses 3 and 4. And it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved." How does that happen? "And come to the knowledge of the truth." See, truth and salvation, truth and being saved, are linked together. We have to come to a knowledge of the truth. Sometimes someone helps us with that. Someone studying with us, helping us to come to this understanding and knowledge of the truth. Well, is there a pattern, and how does this pattern help us? It helps us to have a faith, but not just any faith. There are a lot of people who claim to have faith today, but a faith that pleases God. That's what this pattern does. The pattern reveals a faith that can please God. Then we look in Romans 10:17, and we see that. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If our faith is going to please God, it has to be according to the pattern. It has to be according to the truth. It has to be according to the gospel, the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to follow it because it contains the pattern that we are to follow. We also note in Hebrews 11, chapter verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Now, there in chapter 11 of Hebrews are listed a lot of people who had faith and displayed a faith that pleased God. In every instance, their faith that pleased God was a faith that was obedient unto the Lord. Look over at the example of the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 1 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us, how you ought to walk and please God." And we know the scriptures tell us that we should walk by what? Walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we walk and please God. Are we walking as we should? The pattern for how we're to walk is given to us in the Scripture. We can read it. We can understand it. If we can't understand it, we can get someone to help us to understand it. But we can know how to walk by faith and please God. We can also know how we are to live in regard to this pattern. in Romans, the first chapter, in verse 17, where Paul had talked about in Romans 1:16 that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also the Greek. And verse 70 says, "For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the scriptures explain to us how we are to live. And the word teaches us that we are to live godly lives. Go to Titus 2 and look at verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So here we have the instructions to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We have to know how to live in such a way that honors God, that we glorify God by the life that we live. Turn over to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and let's look at verse 18. And here the inspired writer of the Hebrew letter states, "Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably." Now, we have to have a desire to live honorably. God can tell us how to live, but it takes a desire on your part and a desire on my part to live in a way that honors God. So we have to desire to live honorably. Also, is there a pattern, and how does this pattern help us when it comes how to know how to worship? That the pattern helps us. The pattern is revealed to know how to worship God in a way that is acceptable, in a way that is pleasing unto Him. Go to John, the 4th chapter, and look at verses 23 and 24. And here the scriptures state to us that the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. We have to have the proper attitude. It's not enough just to follow the truth in our worship. We have to have the proper attitude. We need to have the attitude in regard to worshiping that we rejoice over the opportunity that we have to worship. Go to Philippians chapter 3 and look at verse 3. It says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." So we have to worship in the spirit. We have to be rejoicing and be thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God. Also, in order to worship God, we have to be able to avoid the doctrines, the teachings, the false teachings that we talked about in Bible class this morning of men. Turn over to Matthew, the 15th chapter, Matthew chapter 15, and let's look there at verse 9. Matthew 15, well, we'll read verses 8 and 9. It says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why? And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." So in order to worship God acceptably, we can't fall into the pattern of following after the doctrines, the commandments of men. We have to make a choice, as we talked about in our lesson this morning, whom we're going to please. Are we going to please God? Are we going to please men? A lot of people, their worship is around pleasing men. We have to be concerned about pleasing God in our lives. Well, another thing in regard to this pattern and how it helps us to know exactly what we need to do in order to be saved from our sins. if you are having a discussion with someone about the Bible, you need to be able to show them the pattern that's found in the Bible about how we are saved from our sins. Go over to Acts chapter 2. Look there in verse 36 beginning. It says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut or pricked to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So they ask, "What shall we do?" The answer was basically, follow the pattern that's been given by Christ. And the pattern was to repent and to be baptized. Look over at Acts the 17th chapter. And again, it's reiterated in regard to repentance that this needs to take place in our lives. When the scriptures state there in Acts 17:30, "Truly the times of this ignorance God winked at or overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." In order to follow the pattern to be saved, we have to repent. We have to turn from our sin, and we have to turn to Christ. Christ is the one who came to seek and save the lost. He's the one who can redeem us. He's the one who shed His precious blood on our behalf. So we have to turn to Him. Then we have to be willing to confess our faith in Him. Look in Romans the 10th chapter and verses 9 and 10. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So not only must we repent, we must be willing to confess Christ, which is when we are proclaiming our loyalty, our allegiance to Him. And we're stating that we will give Him our loyalty and our allegiance for life. And then we exercise our faith by being baptized into Christ, as we can read in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27, where it says, "For you are all sons of God," or children of God, "by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So we exercise our faith when we repent, when we confess, and when we are baptized into Christ. And when we have completely followed the pattern, then our souls are purified. Sin is no longer held against us. Look at what Paul writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. And then I'll go back up to Romans in just a second. But 1 Peter 1 verses 22 and 23, it says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." So we purify our souls by obeying the truth. And that's exactly what the brethren in Rome had done. If we go back over now to Romans 6 and look there at verses 17 and 18, if you look in the context of Romans chapter 6, you'll see that they're talking about a sin. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Certainly not. Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ, that you became dead to sin? That's, and he said, and then you were raised to walk in this newness of life. Now look over at verses 17 and 18. He says, "But God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." In other words, you obeyed the pattern that's revealed in the Word of God. It says, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So that's exactly what happens to us when we render obedience to the gospel And that's what people need to understand will happen to them if they render obedience to the gospel, if they follow the pattern that's given to them. Well, most of us here this evening have followed that pattern, have been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. We need to also understand this pattern can help us, and it can help us in the sense to know that we have eternal life, to have assurance of that fact. Look over in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." So I know that when I have kept God's commands, I know that my sins are forgiven. I know eternal life is available to me. Look over in 1 John chapter 2 and look at verses 3 through 5. "Now by this we know that we know Him." Here's how we can have assurance that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him, when we keep His commandments." Turn over to Revelation 22 and look at verse 14. And it says, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." See, we can know that we have eternal life because we know if we're keeping the commandments of God or not. So we can have assurance that we are blessed if we follow this pattern that's been given by God to us. We need to follow this pattern not just one time when we obey the gospel and when we're baptized and we receive the forgiveness of sins. We need to follow this pattern throughout our life. Follow this pattern. Well, in conclusion, is there a pattern? I think we can say yes. Without a doubt, there's a pattern that's given to us. Can we understand the pattern? I think we can say yes, we can. Now, we might need someone to help us, but we can have an understanding of the pattern. The most important question is, are we willing to follow the pattern given to us by God? That's the big choice that we have to make. Not that it's so the pattern's so difficult we can't understand, but once we understand what the pattern is, are we going to choose to follow it? Are we going to go down that broad path? Are we going to be on that narrow path? We need to follow the pattern. If you have not rendered obedience to the gospel, if you have not followed the pattern in regard to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we would urge you to do that. Like I say, most people here this evening have done that. But does that mean we're automatically following the pattern of God in all other areas of our life? No, it does not. We need to make sure we follow the pattern. And if we're not following the pattern, we need to repent. And we need to ask God to forgive us, and we need to ask for the prayers of the brethren. We're willing to pray with you and for you on your behalf. In any way you be subject to gospel call, make that need known while we stand and while we sing.